Previously on Quest Laid Plans.
You see this swarm of birds rushing in through the window, and you hear a shattering sound as all the other windows are besieged by a swarm of these little birds.
This is so bad immediately.
You see them start to converge and form one large swarm, almost like moving as one large creature. And the creature is too tall for this tiny halfling house, and so it's bent over and it's kind of in a quadrupede form. It has a very long stooped over neck and a beak that is about 3 or 4 times longer than the diameter of its head and very sharp.
Is this like if a pterodactyl was on its like front wings?
Yeah. I don't say like a pterodactyl, but like some sort of like pterodon situation.
This is one of those dinosaurs that we were talking about. It's like a winged one, like a really old, strong, big bird.
This bird needs to be out of this house.
One of the swarms is going to come back at Nariah in another attempt to do some pecking.
Runic shield.
You have to reroll 22.
You know what? Second chance. You gotta reroll again.
A 17? You're putting up a good fight, but these birds are relentless.
In a panic, Esther misty steps outside of the house.
I really want to just try polymorphing the big bird.
Into one little bird, please God.
Or maybe no birds. Hey.
It needs to make a DC 16 wisdom save.
It got a 16. Nariah, you are engulfed by these birds. You are now blinded, deafened, and restrained, and you cannot breathe. Dozens more birds fly in through the broken windows and through the open door and join it.
Should we keep just pushing it out or just try to kill it in here?
I think we need to disable this big one somehow because it's generating more birds and that's no good. I think I might have a way to do that.
Okay, I'm gonna hit it then.
Nariah, you summon all of your rogue dexterity to dodge in between these like infinitesimal cracks between birds.
I'm going to misty step to the top of just any cabinet that is in this room and puts me above the big bird.
So I'm gonna say that you are on top of a cuckoo clock
as psychological warfare.
Take that, mother cluckers.
It once again lets out a primal pterodon scream. It almost looks for a moment like it's tearing in half. And now there is no big bird, it is 4 swarms.
Okay.
Then I use my whole movement to get out the door.
That was the move. That's cool.
You are so distracted seeing Kit absolutely bolt out of the room that all of a sudden, one second you see him bolt and the next you see nothing but birds and you hear nothing but birds and you can breathe nothing but birds.
Y'all just see just a big blue being just emerge from this swarm of birds and just ow, 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 ow.
Punch it in the face, Windswip!
So to recap, in the space of 6 seconds, Windswip went from being completely engulfed and suffocated by birds to like tripling in size, punching a hole in the ceiling, and then squashing a bunch of the birds and some clothes. Excellent turn.
I am going to cast Wind Wall as a barrier between the big bird and the swarms and the birds coming, and then with me and Brex and Nariah and Windswip on the other side.
And it cuts just like so close. This, you could like feel the wind blowing through your eyelashes as it goes past, and you can see the shadows of birds flying against it, but mostly all you can hear is wind now. Welcome to Quest Laid Plans, the podcast that asks the question, can an old party learn new tricks? I am Megan Kelleher, your dungeon master, and with me are my MySpace top 5.
Hi, my name is Tom. No, sorry. My name is my name is Maya Esming, and I play Winston Palm, Air Genasi Gnome.
Hi, everyone. I'm Phil Arevalo. I play Kit Marpola, Water Genasi Monk. And Kit does not have a MySpace. He clearly has a Zanga.
No. Another millennial joke.
Hello. I am Jesse B. Kohler, playing a human boy, a golden boy, a just honored and touched boy. Vivian's sorcerer.
Hi, everyone. I'm Jamie Hathaway, playing Aveline Every Skywatcher. And as a zillennial, I actually was never on MySpace.
Fuck me.
Jesus fucking Christ.
Spending too much time to make my HTML the perfect mix of black and hot pink. I am Nedimarie Vocheva, and I play the halfling wizard rogue Nariah Winsworn.
Anyway, here's Windwall.
You open someone's MySpace page and the song did auto plays as Windwall.
Oh, no. Yeah, it's just so loud.
It says, when the wall appears, each creature within its area must make a strength saving throw. So I'm going to say that because it's a foot thick, that I've had it so at least like some of that foot is in contact with the swarm and the quadruped.
Yeah, I'm going to say you can get all of them. If you can make it bendy, then sure.
Hell yeah. So they have to make a strength saving throw, and my spell save DC is a 16.
That's some badass airbending shit right there.
The swarm nearest to Windswip fails.
Amazing.
The big guy fails.
Yes. Yeah, hell yeah.
Actually, they all fail. They all fail.
Yes.
Okay, the first swarm takes 14 damage.
Is that halved or?
No, that's full. Because they all failed, right?
They did, but they're still all resistant to bludgeoning damage.
Okay, so the first one takes 7 then. The second one takes 6. And the big guy takes 6 as well. And small or smaller flying creatures or objects can't pass through the wall. So the swarms cannot get through the wall.
Oh my god.
Amazing. Yeah, you see the swarm, you see the shadow of the swarms coming up against it, like when a bird flies up against a shut window and doesn't fly through it as these ones did, you know, a normal bird.
After I throw up this wind wall, I shout to everyone, do we want to get out of the house? If we just all use this wall to retreat and then we can kind of form up together where we have more space?
Yeah, I think y'all need to get out here. It's, seems bad up there.
Esther's face is in the ground.
So here's the tea on that. Are you allowed to move through the wind wall?
Are the birds... The birds were coming in through the door, or were they trying to leave through the door?
Basically, what I will say is that you have unfettered access to the jagged, broken windows. You're going to need to make some checks to get through those without getting cut by the glass. You would have to move through the wind wall to get out the door.
Okay. So Kit and Esther are outside.
Mm-hmm.
Nariah's sitting on top of a clock.
I can get down very easily, though.
If that's the door at the bottom with the outside, where birds, Megan? Where birds? Where wolves?
I'm going to do you one better and do it myself.
Okay.
Because it's probably easier than explaining. I, too, have the bad visualizing brain.
I just know the birds initially came through the window that Nariah opened.
Yeah.
Yeah, remember that, Nariah?
I thought it was a messenger. I was expecting the bird to tell me something. At the worst case scenario, I was expecting like
this.
A very good druid to have been bird, but it was not.
We're all rusty anyway. It's okay. It's fine.
I didn't know birds can be monsters.
Birds are supposed to only be friend.
Everything's a monster.
I, as a human person and a player, really fucking love birds. And this is very upsetting to me. This entire situation. Very upsetting.
My best friend and roommate is terrified of birds. And so when I recapped for her what's going down, she's like, nope.
Are we going to have a content warning for this?
Content warning birds.
Yes.
Okay, so trying to figure out how large Windswift is going to get out of here.
Yep, large Windswift.
Large exclamation mark, Windswift.
I think you just got a Kool-Aid Bandit.
Yeah. Yeah, that's because that's the thing. Like, she could get small and probably fit through the window better, but she has advantage on strength checks as a giant. So
basically, the dilemma at the moment is, like, everything that is bad is contained within the wind wall. The wind wall also blocks you from the door, and it would be, like, a little dangerous to try and get out broken windows.
So. Okay. So, I think I back up and move closer to one of the windows down on the south wall of the house.
Sure.
And just take my movement to get to the window. I'm not going to break it or do anything yet. I'm just backing up away from the wind wall.
It's broken, so.
The window is broken?
All the windows are broken and they're all shattered. So it would getting through it would be less of a matter of like having to break it and more a matter of having to like finesse your way through while taking minimal slicing damage.
Okay. Would I need to make a check or something? Would that take an action to climb through the window?
I think it would probably take double movement.
Okay. Then I get myself up to a window and then I'll stay there and that'll be my turn.
So it is now the Megabird's turn once again. It is inside the wind wall. The quadruped is large enough that it can move through the wind wall. So I believe that what it's going to do is bust out of the wind wall, set its sights on you, Aveline, and take a swipe at you with each of its wings.
Okay.
This is how we die in a cabin surrounded by birds.
Okay, the first one is 21 to hit. Does a 16 hit you with your plus one AC?
Yeah, even with the plus one, both of those hit.
Okay, so both of those are going to hit. Let me roll damage. Okay, so it's going to be total 21 bludgeoning damage, and then I'm going to roll the necrotic.
Jesus.
But you were not ready.
And then additional 17 necrotic
Jesus
damage.
Christ.
Oh my God.
How are you doing? God. Hang on, I have to do math.
You weren't hit before though, right?
No, but I've gone from 57 down to 19 HP.
Okay, so first thing you have to do is make a constitution saving throw.
Oh, that's a 17 on the die, so that is a 19.
Nice.
So yes. I save.
All right, so you feel a wave of nausea pass through you as the wings kind of hit you with a force that is worldly and otherworldly, but it passes very quickly and you manage to get it under control. The next thing is you want to make a concentration check on that wind wall.
I've never had to roll for concentration before, so 15 on the die, so that's a 17.
Half of 39 is
more than
17. Yeah, almost, but not quite. As it gets you, that moment that you have the nausea go through you, it's just a moment before you regain yourself, but when you kind of come to from that dizzy spell again, you realize the wind wall has disappeared.
Oh my God. What kind of crazy ass damage is this thing? Like, how is it getting all that?
All right, and...
Fuck.
Bonus action.
You.
No.
What the fuck?
No, no. Wait a minute. Sorry. Okay, I'm so sorry, Aveline. I need you to now make me a DC 17 dex save. A lot
Why
of saving happening.
Why are you trying to kill Aveline?
Why?
It's my job.
Why are none of these wisdom saves? Just throwing that out there.
It doesn't have any riddles in its back pocket for you, I'm sorry.
What did that need to be?
17.
That's a 10.
Fuck.
So...
Oh, you're swarmed.
The second that the wind wall comes down, you see the swarms kind of break free, and you see the giant quadruped take a step towards you, and another step towards you, and then you are inside of it, and you are swarmed and engulfed by the large quadruped.
Fuck.
So you are blinded, deafened, and restrained.
By the big boy.
Oh.
By the big boy.
Oh, no.
Horrible.
It's strange. You feel very strange, Aveline, inside of it, because at first you're engulfed by this massive creature, and then you feel like the pressure bearing down on you lessens and is still claustrophobic and terrible, but from the outside what we see is that the quadrupedal bird that is engulfing Aveline actually shoots out another swarm, and so now... We are up to four swarms and no giant quadruped. One of the swarms is on Aveline.
So it's like the big one did the splitting thing again.
Yeah, it did, basically. Okay. Like, from it's like it split in half and one of the halves got custody of Aveline.
God,
Jesus.
Oh, my God.
I'm a child of divorce, spending the weekend with my least favorite parent.
My least favorite parent, a swarm of birds.
Listen, families, am I right?
Listen, not to speak from personal experience, but sometimes the swarm of birds would have been preferable.
Damn, and with that, we will go to Kit.
Okay.
Don't talk yourself into taking psychic damage, too.
Listen, firstly, I'm resistant to psychic damage. Secondly, if my dad is ever listening to this podcast, fuck you, Graham.
Fuck you, Graham.
Yeah, fuck you, Graham.
Yo, Graham, get fucked.
Fuck you.
Fuck you.
All right, guys, let's motor.
So, all right, I can see through the windows. I'm going to stay outside, and I'm switching out to my sling, and I'm just going to try to bean. Okay, so is there a swarm such that if I moved it 5 feet, someone would get an opportunity attack?
Yes, like any of them.
All right, I'm going to take 2 sling attacks like through the window to try to move a swarm so that Rex gets an opportunity attack.
Okay.
Does a 16 hit?
No.
Oh, fuck. Okay, then I'm going to spend 1 key point to make that 16 and 18.
Nice.
That will make
it. Okay, so
sense,
that
yeah.
will hit, so I'm going to use Focused Aim. Oh, awesome. Okay, then I'm going to use my bonus action to Kensei Shot to add a 1d4 to that as well. So it moves 5 feet and will incur an opportunity attack from Brex.
Okay.
And it takes 3 bludgeoning damage. That's already have.
Okay, cool. Okay, I'm going to roll the Brex opportunity attack. No. Okay, Brex is going to get in... 3 damage also.
Oh my god. Well.
Yeah, it's hard to poke a moving target, but you know, Brex does their best.
And that's my turn.
All right, Esther, it's your turn.
Okay. Where are the 4 swarms?
So one of them is around Aveline near the window that is like on the south wall, the left window. One of them is up next to Brex.
So those two are kind of next to each other, or no?
Yeah, and then one of them is up against Windswip, and one of them is by the door.
Okay, I would like to Misty Step sort of next to Brex.
Okay.
And then I'm going to... Well, before Esther does that, he turns to Kit and says, "Time to fight stupid with stupid." And then Misty Step next to Brex and is going to cast Agazar Scorcher.
You can't cast 2 spells in 1 round.
Oh, right.
Oh, shit.
I totally forgot about that.
Sorry.
I mean, the wind wall is down, yeah, so couldn't you just, like, use your movement to get in?
Yeah, I could. Okay, so run in. Well, prone, so stand. So I then have 15 feet left. I'm really just trying to land in a spot that I could send that I could try to get 2 swarms or as many as possible in the line of this fire.
So I think there's a world in which you could fire it and aim it slightly to the left of the cuckoo clock and get the one by the door and the one that is fighting Brex without getting the others.
Cool. So I'm lighting a flame in a house. That's what I'm going to do. So each creature in the line, which I think is just the swarms, has to make a dex saving throw of 15.
Okay. They both make it.
Okay. So that's 17 from the dice, and then plus 4 from my dragon ancestry, because I cast a fire spell. So that's 21 half.
So 10?
Yes.
Okay, so they will each take 10.
And then... So I'm at the door, right?
I'm in the doorway, watching
my
the swarm burn.
Oh.
I'll keep fighting on my own.
Oh,
Robin,
God.
Don't sue us.
Okay. Okay, that'll be...
Great. All right, so you run up to the doorway, shoot a line of blazing fire at exactly the right angle so that it weaves between Brex and... the cuckoo clock on which Naraya is perched and manages to scorch 2 of the swarms. And once again, it is very much like a firebird bird barbecue situation. At this point, Kit, you're still outside?
I'm still outside.
You witness once again more birds rushing past.
God,
you are already...
fucking damn it.
Okay. We are not. You're already prone, right?
We're not fighting this.
I had to get up.
We can't. You did get up?
Yeah, I did get up.
Okay, cool.
We have to just run?
Make a DC 17 check?
I have a plan. Kind of.
I save. I got a 19.
Okay, so you manage. You do get an attack of opportunity on these new birds.
Thank God. Okay.
Kill the birds.
That is a 19 to hit.
Hell yeah. That will hit.
And that is 7 bludgeoning damage.
Okay. Is that already half?
No.
Damn it.
This resistance is killing us.
It's very, very bad. Very bad for Monk Boy.
Yeah. This is bad for me too.
Kit, you manage to stay on your feet and make an attack with what? Do you use your whip or your, what do you use?
No, I use my club. I'm just like flailing wildly.
Yeah, you manage to get 3 birds, and you realize as you're swinging around that it's fewer birds, and then you think maybe last time it might have been fewer birds too. You feel like it's a diminishing return on the birds. And so taking out 3 of them, actually, that's like a third of the birds. So the ones that remain go in the window. What you saw on the inside is you saw the 2 swarms that were just damaged by fire come together, form a very scorched and burned and bad-looking quadruped once more, which then calls out for more birds. And that'll be all of
it. So 1 quadruped, legendary action. 2 swarms.
Yes, correct. That is that. Okay, it is now Brex's turn. Brex is going to attack the quadruped, large boy. And he's just going to take 2 attacks with Bedlam. It's not going to hit. That one is going to hit. Okay, that's going to be 6 piercing damage. This thing, it's just getting poked by this like magical, very, very thin, needly sword, it cries out as most of the new birds that just joined it are now just fried up into a shadow once again. It is not looking great at this point. You realize that it's a much less dense bird than it used to be. In its large form, you can really see that it's just like a couple dozen and not massive, massive, massive amounts. It is now Windswip's turn again.
Windswip is going to use... Is there still a swarm next to her? Or was that one of the burnt swarms that got swept up?
That was not one of the burnt swarms.
She's going to cast, with her bonus action, Zephyr Strike, which is the same thing that she used back on the battlefield against the big worm, which is that she knows does not provoke opportunity attacks. That's the first part of it. And the second part is that when she tries to attack something, she'll get an extra 30 feet of movement. So
amazing.
Nice.
Wind sweeps up, her kind of air genasi wind sweeps up, and she's going to try to attack the swarm that is next to her, for starters. And nat 20.
Woo! Oh. Yes!
okay. Great. So it's going to take whatever this number is, because it takes half of bludgeoning, but that's fine. There's an 8 points of bludgeoning damage from her warhammer. And what the hell, she'll attack it again. She will not make that one. But, oh wait, with that crit, she also gets an extra d8 of force damage. So,
ooh,
hell yeah.
An extra 3 points of force damage. Are you with me? There's more, I have more things to do, but are you with me?
I'm with you, so that's 11 points so far.
Great. Okay, so she's going to now run away from that swarm and head for wherever Aveline is.
In another swarm.
Now this is the part where I need your help here. If she were to action surge, could she grab Aveline out of this swarm as an action?
I'm gonna say you can try. Okay. I want to allow it because it's cool. Yeah, if you with your gigantic fucking hand, yeah, I think it would be a dexterity check to try and get something out of something else with a big hand.
Dexterity, not strength. Not strength. Can I just muscle my way through this worm?
Okay, I'll let you do strength.
Thank you. All right, so she's gonna do that. Action surge, reach in with her big old mitt, try to just yank Aveline out.
I'm gonna say DC 17 because that's what the others are.
Okay. Great. I get a +2, +7, 20, 24.
Okay.
Great.
Wind,
so she
wind, swift.
She pulls Aveline out and, clutching her close, uses the rest of that extra movement that she got from Zephyr Strike to get out of the fucking door.
Okay, so here's what happens. Here's what you see. You see you make this absolutely brutal hammer attack with extra force against the one near you. You swing at it, and as though it's just continuing the trajectory with which you swung, as though it was like a baseball and not a swarm of birds, it flies back to the large quadruped bird. Mm. And then you rush over, and you reach in with brute force with your fist into this very tight knot of attacking, scratching, pecking birds. And you do so with such strength that they barely even dint off of your gauntlets. You grab Aveline and pull her out. And as those birds disperse, they too rejoin the quadruped. Mm. The quadrupedal creature is now intact. There are no more swarms. It is just one giant bird. And it appears to be made of like maybe 5 birds tops that are just swirling. It's like if you hadn't seen it before, you wouldn't know what it was trying to be at this point. There's just not enough birds to make the shape. And it looks horrible.
But we make it out the door, right? With our extra burst
you
of
do,
movement.
Yeah.
Okay. So we are outside. And I'll say we'll probably just go right up next to Kit, wherever Kit is. And Winston will kind of, like, sag, exhausted, but free.
I, for sure, as a free object interaction, throw my arms around your neck. And I'm just like, oh, I like being a bird. I don't like being in the birds.
Yeah, I think I unlocked a new trauma today.
Yeah.
Okay, Nariah, it is your turn.
Amazing. Here's what I want to do. How close am I to Brex?
Like 10 feet.
Cute. So I'm going to use my movement to jump off of the cuckoo clock. I'm going to make my way to Brex. Going to look at them. I'm going to say, sorry about this. Trust me, okay? And I am going to cast a third level thunder step, getting myself and Brex out. And because I'm an evocation wizard, I am sculpting this spell, so Esther, who is still outside, will not need to make the save.
The Three of Wands.
Cool. I love
so
wands.
The Three of Wands. Your character gets an opportunity in a far-off land. Do they take it? And what is it? What's the opportunity?
Yeah, I take it. I think one of my duels ends up being with someone who can teach me a bunch of shit. And I think I have been doing the thing where I think I'm no longer edgy, but I am, like, fucking and fighting in bars. And a person who knows nothing about me but can see the arcane shit is like, what the fuck are you doing? Come to this establishment. We'll make you better at this. And I'm not sure if it's, like, strictly an academic, because I'm not a huge fan of, like, the bookish wizard kind of thing. I think it's more of like a training and learning environment of some sort. And you can like figure out what that is, like world-wise, what makes sense.
Like a mentorship.
Yeah, like someone knocks me completely out in a wizard duo and is like, nice, let's make it better. And it's like across the fucking whatever continent. And I have nothing better to do and it feels healthier than what I'm doing right now, so...
We haven't really fleshed out this world specifically yet, so it doesn't make sense to be like, where do you go? But like, in what way is your new environment different from your old one?
Cool, fun. And this might be weird, but my immediate, like, first instinct was that it's like warmer. I imagined...
I had that too, what the fuck?
In my head, I imagined like going west. And that in my head is like, just like full western, just like desert, like different. Because, like, I'm, like, very Eurocentric. I was imagining, like, where we were, like, four seasons. And, like, the way I'm used to, like, flora and fauna in my life. And I think the most foreign thing I can imagine is I've never seen, like, a desert or, like, the West. And, like, whatever the fuck Jesse's from. So I think I'm, like, picturing that.
Cool.
And, like, dusty. Nice. I think I, like, went to, like, the cowboy wizard school of dual bullshit.
Cowboy Wizard School of Duel Bullshit is a school I would love to go to.
Esther is going to be fine. The bird, however, needs to give me a constitution saving throw of DC 16.
Okay. It fails.
Cool. So it's going to take 3d10 of thunder damage.
I'm not even going to make you roll that because it had 1 HP. So tell me how you kill this bird.
I look at Brex. I say, trust me, okay? I look out the window, literally walking away from, well, it's not explosion, but walking away from this thunderous sound which forms around the remaining birds. Not looking at them, but just looking towards the street outside because I want to rejoin most every one of the rest of my friends. And around the birds, the air just shimmers a little, and there's just this horrible thunderous sound. And Esther feels fine about it. He's not hurt by the sound at all. And then, I don't know. I think the birds just fall limply to the ground. It's not magical at all.
Yeah, you see the remaining handful of birds fall to the ground dead, just maybe bleeding a little from their bird ear holes, but otherwise it just kind of looks like some birds flew in here and died. It also looks like a massive rager of a party has happened. Esther, as the sole remaining member of the party in the house, you see absolute destruction. There is a hole in the hardwood floor. There is a hole in the plaster ceiling through which clothes have fallen. Many a furniture piece is destroyed. The side of the cuckoo clock is scorched. And that last thunder blast, which mysteriously didn't affect you at all, you were fine, broke every single glass in the cupboard and those that were out from last night's drinkings. So with that and the windows, it's just broken glass everywhere. But aside from the house and the damage to it, you are all free of this giant megabird and you are out of initiative. Yay! Yeah.
Jesus. Holy shit. We may be free, but we truly now all have bird-related trauma.
Yeah.
Yeah, God.
Okay, so since I was outside, could I tell where they were coming from? Or were they just, like, coming from everywhere? Like, when I made that dex save?
Give me a perception check.
Perception.
Can I, as a reaction, give him one last, because the storm rune is still going, one last advantage on whatever he's doing?
You can windswip, and I'm going to tell you why after.
Okay.
All right, so I get advantage?
Yes, yes.
It's a nat 20.
Yes! Yes! Tell us about those birds, Megan.
All right. So what you realize when you're thinking back on it, Kit, is that, okay, yeah, there was like diminishing returns with the birds. The birds were also coming from kind of nowhere, but like a consistently spaced nowhere. And you can't really articulate what exactly is happening. It's like they just came out of nowhere, but like it was a specific place that they all just appeared from in a circular ring around the home. And as you're hearing this, Windswip, you are able to put an analogy to this because in all of your traveling and all of your finding ancient artifacts with your mother, you actually found quite a few, what she explained to you were video games. Like you found your Game Boy and like you had found a few other things and you got a couple of them to work. And so you're like a little bit of a gamer just as a hobby.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry to have done that to you.
No, but I think it's true. that is the perfect choice. I think one of the spells that she got would have been from a video game, honestly.
Yeah, it was. So I think what comes to your mind is that it's almost like there was like a specific spawn point for these things, like around the house in a ring.
I see.
God.
So wait, Windswip, should we have camped by these spawn points by any chance? Would that have been a good strategy?
I think it's generally frowned upon, but it certainly works.
Hey everyone, it's me, Megan. As usual, I'm here to bring you some announcements. The very first announcement is that we have a Discord server now, which you can join by going to questlaidplans.com/discord or bit.ly/questlaiddiscord. We've got a really fun little community in there. All the cast and crew are there, plus a bunch of listeners, and we've been having fun chats about sort of like backstage stuff, behind the scenes stuff, I guess there was no stage. I'm just a theater person who can't think straight because it's very hot. But behind the scenes stories and official character descriptions for fan art and lots of stupid memes and predictions. And there are spoiler-free spaces if you're not caught up. So please come join us. bit.ly/questladediscord or questladeplans.com/discord. We also have a Patreon, patreon.com/questladeplans. And we are going to be putting up the Megabird stat block at some point in the next like 24 hours. We just want to give people a chance to like listen to the episode before we put it out into the world. But it is just a really, really fun encounter to run, I can say from experience. And you would have to ask the cast whether they found it fun or infuriating to play as players, but you know, it's little of column A, little of column B. If you want that in your game, it's going to be on patreon.com/questladeplans. And in like a week-ish, we're going to have another episode up there of Pitch a Bitch, our bonus show, and it's going to have Jamie as a guest. So that's going to be really fun. If you want to do us a small favor for free, you can rate us 5 stars on your podcast app of choice and or leave a nice review, tell your friends on social media, follow us on Twitter at questladeplans. And yeah, honestly, that's about it. We have one like programming note, which is that we, in this next little section of the game, actually, prior to going into it, we also leveled up 2 more levels again, but we decided to cut that audio because it was really long and boring, and ultimately nobody got any features or anything that were like super exciting or consequential to the game. So if we reference that, it's because we just leveled up 2 levels, but we don't do it like on air the way we did last time. So yeah, we just thought it would be more exciting to just get right back into it. So without further ado, let's get right back into it, and we will see you next time. Thank you for listening. So we are going to pick up exactly where you left off, which is outside of Tefan's wrecked house. I believe who's still inside? Esther. Everybody else was outside. The first thing I'm going to tell you guys is I'm going to give you a little present. Okay, actually, no, I'm going to give you a couple presents. The first thing I want to do is giving Jamie inspiration for that polymorph that didn't quite work out, but if it had, would have been really dangerous. So Jamie, take a point of inspiration.
Thank you.
And I'm also going to give Phil a point of inspiration because it was his birthday this week. And when I DM games, I give out inspiration as birthday presents.
Thank you.
Oh, yay.
So you two have inspiration. And the final present I will give to you guys is a little less pleasant. It is for everyone. And it is information, but it is maybe not information you'll like. So I will tell you what your characters might suspect, but what I will tell you as people, as players, is true. You may take a short rest now. You should know that if you do that, the time that you spend on that will have ramifications.
Fuck. Okay.
It's right. My favorite kind of present. Wow.
I love.
Everybody leveled up as well, and I would love to hear like what all the changes were and stuff, but I just wanted to let you know now that like if you were to choose not to rest, you would still get all those benefits, just not like restoring HP.
Right.
Cool.
Or spell slots or whatever else.
Mm-hmm.
Key points, etc.
Yeah, exactly. Sorry for the monk erasure. Yeah, I think like obviously this is true in D&D, but in general, in a more mechanical, concrete sense, from here on out, all your actions have consequences further down the line, even if I can't tell you what they are right now.
Terrifying.
Well, the only thing that Winsip is lacking is HP, but it is a lot of it, so yeah, I'll leave that up to those with healing resources, whether they want to spend it on her or if we should gamble with the rest. There's like a couple I can do. I haven't done my second wind yet, but that's just a little bit. But she's like ready to fall apart right now. So.
I think too, if you don't short rest, then your like pain dice will shrink as well.
Oh, shit.
Ooh.
Well, we could also split up.
Yeah, that's what I was going
to
say.
We can put Windswept back inside to rest and just go and investigate where the more birds are coming from.
Yeah, Esther is pretty okay, so I'm ready to go.
I would say that Kit could definitely use a short rest just to regenerate ki, just because that makes him very, like, a lot more useful if we didn't want to leave Windswip alone. But
Windswip, you were under that condition that stopped you from being able to regain hit points, right?
all of that dissipated when the bird died. It was just until the bird's next turn, and now that it's dead, it's...
Thank fucking God.
I could cast a second level Cure Wounds.
It's up to you. I mean, I'm kind of deferring to the group here. I can have Winsip limp along, for sure, but...
But you were at, like, 4 HP. I don't feel great about
correct.
That.
Correct. that is correct. Yeah, so it's, like, it's a question of whether we want to, like, pool all of our, what we're comfortable with, healing resources into her right now. Or, yeah, she could sit this little adventure out and try to catch up later.
I'm making the executive decision of casting a second level Cure Wounds, so have 13 HP back.
Okay. If I get healed 13, that brings me up to 17.
And then I'm at 19, so we're together at the not super fun end of things.
Yeah. I still think we should... I mean, if like half of us, more than half of us, you're not doing great, maybe we should take the bullet and just fucking rest for an hour. I know we just woke up, but it's been a wild 10 minutes.
Where do you think you want to go?
Wherever the fuck the birds came from. Yesterday, I was willing to think that, you know, it was just wrong place, wrong time. They came to our house. Like, yeah. Someone's doing this.
I mean, I think our only lead is Porla. Mm. So I think, you know, if you or if we are to go anywhere, it would be to try to find where she went.
Yeah.
Do we have a sense for the spawn, like, where the birds were spawning? Like, could we get outside of that circle? Do we have a sense for, like, where it kind of ends?
Yeah, I think that having seen where they're coming from, you could relate it to, like, you know, there weren't birds past that tree over there, and then, like, kind of work out where outside of that circle would be.
Yeah.
Maybe we could go somewhere that feels a little safer and then take a short rest.
I think that's probably a good idea.
I literally don't know what's safer than here.
I know, but we don't know if here is safe.
Yeah. Yeah.
They might come back. I mean, if this is where they came from, yeah. Maybe it stopped for now, but it might come back in a couple minutes. We don't know. I'll be fine.
Yeah, I think we should be at least on the move now. And maybe a better opportunity to take a short rest or, you know, take a little break will present itself. But I think out here, we're just kind of out in the open.
Yeah.
Can I just ask someone to pull me along a little bit on our way?
And what she means by that is that sometimes she would cast levitate and have someone just kind of tie a rope to her foot or something and just pull her along. Amazing. For as long as that spell lasts.
Oh, what a little balloon woman.
I am also going to have you roll your pain dice because you just finished a battle.
Okay. Do I still get a d20 or...
I think if you skip the short... Are you skipping the short rest?
I guess currently I am, yeah.
Yeah, so then I think it would go down to a 12. Is the next lowest one? Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I can Let's see. my antler necklace and...
8.
And be elk again. And Windswip could ride on... Elk Aveline.
Oh, that would be nice.
8 out of 12 will do it, so you are okay for the moment.
Yeah. That would be great. Yeah, she nods to Aveline. Thank you so much. And thanks for the heals too. I'll be okay.
I wanted to heal you during the battle, but I couldn't because of
that was really fucked up on that bird's part. I hated that. Didn't like it. But nothing against you. I'm just glad that we got out of there.
Yeah.
What were you going to say, Kit?
No, I'm just thinking, we obviously need to get out of here. We're not exactly sure where to go. We could either try to find Porla, or the other thing that Winswip and I noticed when we were looking at our stuff last night was about Lasper, where Porla was going to school and how there's more magical energy there and whether we should just be heading in that direction generally with the thought that maybe that's where she's going to end up going to. I don't know. I'm just kind of throwing out whether we want to sort of confront her here at the university or keep on going somewhere else.
How far away is Lasper to here?
Lasper is, like, it depends on how you wanted to travel, to be honest with you, but it would be, like, at least a day regardless. It's not, like, super close.
Yeah, that seems like a pretty big commitment. Maybe there's more we can find out here then.
Or we go find this Krugnail guy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I hate to say it, but I don't think he... I mean, he's either not the very nice person I thought he was, or he's being implicated in this, which would be shitty, because he's just...
Yeah, well, I found his ID on Porla's desk, so I think she took it. She used it, right?
Yeah, or he gave it to her.
Oh, yeah, wait, I guess.
Does Porla have... Do you remember if Porla had any shape-changing or disguise magic back when we knew her?
She's a cleric, so not really.
Okay, yeah, it's... Okay.
I mean, there's always potions and stuff. We can't rule it out.
And I mean, we've all changed quite a lot in the last 10 years. We don't know what she might be capable of now. Yeah.
She could have picked up some new tricks.
Sure, I've gotten a lot hotter, says Brax.
I high-five them.
You smell really good.
Yeah, you didn't think it was possible for me to glow up. How do you say that? Glow up. But I did.
Just keep trying. You'll get there.
Yeah, I mean, it's just weird because we saw him, but his eye, you never see, you gotta carry your ID everywhere, right? Why else would it have been in Porla's office and not on him?
We have not seen both of them at the same time. That's right.
But maybe it's too much speculation. I really don't know.
I do think we should take a pass around the campus and see if we can find Porla, or maybe we should just go to this fence and see if there's any evidence. I think we should travel around here, though, for starters.
Yeah.
All right. So where would you guys like to go?
Before we go anywhere, I would like to... I understand that there is several broken windows, but I'm very much locking this house up.
Wow. Definitely.
The windows, I can't do shit about them because I don't have mending or anything, but I'm just going to like close the front door and like lock it up.
I feel that because if anybody is willing to crawl through like dangerous jagged glass broken windows, like, you know, I mean, maybe they deserve to get in the house.
She knows the windows are broken, right?
Just let her do it. Just let her do it.
Okay, I'm good to go.
Oh, I was going to say I didn't stock mending today, otherwise I would be going around and fixing up the windows.
That's honestly probably not the first time this house has been like this.
Yeah, I'm sure that Tifon has thrown many a rager. I think, Brex is like, oh so yeah, cool. Last year after a Battle of the Banes, it was like, this is nothing compared to that. That was a fucking rager.
The scar scene goes hard, man.
Oh yeah, but you know who you gotta watch out for is the Klezma Band. They don't fuck around.
Wow, clarinets are just too intense.
Oh yeah, and they make great weapons.
Okay, we have to go somewhere.
Yeah, let's go. So y'all make your way to, did you say you wanted to go to the fence? Or, sorry, I don't know if you said where you wanted to go.
I don't think
let's
we did.
Let's go to the fucking fence.
I think we've been meaning to go to the fence for a while.
Yeah, so I think we should just cross that off, get that off our list just quickly, you know. See what's up with the fence. Yeah.
Crash cut to us dying at the fence.
Oh no, this fence is alive!
You all walk through town for the first time together, I think, because you all made your way back to the house separately. So obviously the mood is heavy and everyone's exhausted and kind of wounded from this bird fight. But you're also walking through this town that the five of you have spent a lot of time together back in the day, and you find yourselves kind of flooded with memories and really taken by, oh, that place we used to hang out at all the time is now something else, but that place is still the same. And as you sort of like walk down memory lane physically and literally, you
is the road cold back. Memory lane?
Yeah, it actually is. It is. Yeah.
Yes.
Tifon lives on 69 memory lane.
Nice.
And so as you make your way, you have to, and it's kind of a main road, so you have to kind of make your way down it to get there. It's all very on the nose. And then you take a left on a heavy-handed metaphor street to get to the guilds. So
I love to live at,
all of this is canon.
69 memory lane and the intersection of 420 heavy-handed metaphor street.
Okay, but like you have to understand that I live in Providence and like we literally have things that are like at the intersection of hope and power because like that's how our streets are named.
Yep.
So like this is just me living my authentic truth. So you all make your way back to campus, and as you go in, it is pretty empty still. It's not completely deserted, so you're able to figure out that probably whatever evacuation was happening is called off. And it's not difficult to figure out what part of the fence was down, because even from just the entrance to the guild, you're able to see up the hill a section of what is normally a pretty innocuous fence is surrounded by these like orange cones and scaffolding and pylons and all the telltale signs of construction, danger, do not go here, as they are being rebuilt by a frenzied group of groundspeople.
What material is the fence made of? Like, what kind of fence are we talking?
So it doesn't actually look like a fence to the naked eye if you didn't know what it was. It's a series of stakes in the ground that don't have anything between them that would prevent you from like walking through it. It is more of a sonic thing that shoots down into the ground and sort of emits a frequency that would repel.
So it's like a sonic force field.
Yeah, exactly. Or like, isn't that kind of what electric fences are for dogs, sort of?
I was going to say like the invisible fences for dogs, except going into the
right,
ground.
Right, yeah, exactly.
And just so that I get the picture, that fence is, like, marks the edge of the campus.
Correct, yeah. And so it's not that there's nothing past it, but it's sort of rough terrain. It's not like landscaped nicely to indicate this is a place where people are. It's, you know, rocks, and it's not, it's, I will say it's difficult terrain, both like in terms of the game and just sort of flavor-wise. You also see the signs of a big festival winding down. And if you didn't know what had happened toward the back of campus yesterday, you would think it was just sort of the day after. There's cupcake wrappers on the ground and people taking tent stakes out and the typical just day after where everything that was magical last night seems kind of sad and deflated.
Do any of y'all remember this being here when we were here? I have no memory of this fence.
Of the fence?
No.
Megan, was the fence here 10 years ago?
Yeah. The fence like predates all of you. It was like when if any of you is like, oh God, I don't want to reference Harry Potter, but like if any of you is like the nerd who read the history of the school, and not it's not a school, but you know what I mean, like the history of the guild, would any of you have done that? Like would any of you think have cared to like really read up on the history of the guilds?
I think Aveline might
honestly
have.
No.
I think Kit
no.
I think Kit would have.
Yeah, I think Winston would have dipped her toe in. Yeah.
So those of you for whom you think it's in character to have, like, paid attention in the pamphlets that you saw in the lobby, you would know that it's been up basically since the guild was constructed, and the guild is one of the oldest buildings. Well, give me a history check. All of you who think you would have done that, give me a history check as Esther asks this of you.
All right. 22.
12.
Dirty 20.
Okay, so first of all, before I get there, I also want to say that Naraya, despite not really having paid attention, you worked in campus ops, and so you would know that it was definitely there when you were there, because a fair amount of your job involved, like...
grounds. I don't think I cared about, like, why as much as, like, making sure it stays up.
Exactly. Like, you never would have dealt with any, like, a breach in the fence like this, because it's pretty stalwart, but if there was ever, like... a threat or like, you know, like an electric storm where it seemed like that might compromise it. It was always like DEFCON 5, let's make sure that doesn't happen. And that would mm-hmm. fall to you to, you know, make the calls. Okay, so who got a dirty 20?
Me.
Winswip, you remember from being very overexcited about starting at this prestigious guild and doing all your homework on it, that not only does the fence go back to the beginning of this history of this guild, but that the guild is actually one of the oldest buildings that anybody, as far as anybody can tell, in this region since the Great Waking. It was perhaps one of the first ones built, and that this is actually sort of a historical site because according to legend, and there's lots of different legends, but according to legend, it was somehow significant in the actual act of this like resurrection, the Great Waking. There's lots of different stories. You know, some said that, like, the Pention put a great silver flame here to, like, sustain and keep warm the survivors. Others say that one of the Pention, and of course everybody thinks it's their own god, was, like, somehow born here. But it's considered sort of a special holy place in kind of varying ways to many people. And that's also why it was, construction-wise, kind of just gives old building.
Cool. Kit rolled a 22. Does he know even more than that?
I'm sorry that I missed you rolled a 22. You know all that as well.
Okay.
I'm sorry that I missed that.
I thought there was also, like, there was, no, like, I extra.
I thought maybe the DC was a 21 or something, and I got, like, a little bit more.
You had to roll below a 21 to understand what was going on.
Yeah, it's true. You're just so smart that you actually have too much information in your brain and you forgot. Oh, too real, too real.
Whoa.
Sorry, I accidentally made it depressing and real. So anyway, sorry, that's what that is.
That's what show is all about.
Yeah, no, it's been here, Esther. Yeah, it's been here for a while, actually. I don't know if it's ever been broken, though. That's
right. Yeah, that's I don't remember ever reading anything about it being broken. It's, I mean, Esther, didn't they warn you about the Remorazes? And
no.
And how?
I mean, yes. But okay. I wasn't listening.
That tracks.
Keep on keeping on.
No, wow, we had very different experiences.
Yeah, really.
So as you all make your way up to the fence, you see even closer a group of people who are dressed similarly to Primo, how Primo was yesterday, sort of fussing and conferring, and some people are casting spells on the various sort of like metal stakes in the ground, and others are working on putting up actual literal fencing to keep people away from the area until it's completed.
We should ask somebody how this physically could happen and how they're repairing it, because I have a nasty feeling that it's not just a matter of pulling a couple of stakes out of the ground.
Yeah. Naraya, do you see Primo down there?
Do I see Primo down there?
Give me a perception check.
That's a 27.
Yeah, you spot him right away. He's unmistakable. I mean, he was your boss. You know his weird way of walking and the dumb hat he wears.
I just, like, tilt my chin to, like, point towards him. Do we think we should talk to him? I mean, I know we just discussed that he might be involved with this or implicated.
I don't know.
But he knows more than anyone. He knows the grounds better than everyone.
I guess I asked you because, you know, you know him the best, I think, out of all of us. And, you know, I don't think it would be odd for you to ask him stuff, maybe.
I don't know. Yeah, you're right.
Or we could have, I mean, Esther, you seem very charismatic today. A little more so than you were before. Maybe you could, like, play
thanks for
stupid.
Noticing.
Yeah, I
she anyway. That throws her off a little bit.
just maybe you could play stupid and act like you don't know anything about this fence and maybe try to get some just basic information out of him about it.
I mean, we can all go. He already saw us.
That's true.
Yeah.
We can all go and just let Esther ask the easy questions, and then
Don't like the way you said that.
Hey, listen, I'm just supporting Windswip's plan, which is you pretend to not know anything, mm-hmm. as opposed to you actually not knowing anything, mm-hmm. and we see if I need to intervene.
And wait, the other thing, which, we saw him yesterday, right?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't. I didn't.
Oh, yeah, you guys were over, yeah.
Everyone except for Aveline and Windswip had that conversation with him.
Okay, and last thing, do the groundskeepers normally keep their IDs, like, visible, like, on a, like, lanyard or something like that?
I think that the visibility depends, and that it's, like, a personal preference thing, so you've seen a lot of faculty and staff in general with their IDs on lanyards just for accessibility, but it's not, like, required.
But would he need it to, like, get places? Is it, like, a key card?
It's a key card, yeah.
Okay.
Maybe we find a way to... Let's go ask about the fence, and then... Yeah.
We'll
and then maybe we ask about his ID as well if we get there.
Love it.
Okay.
I kind of start charging forward, take Esther, like, under my arm, arm in arm, and start leading everyone towards Primo.
Sure, you guys make your way across this sort of, you know, like, shortcuts through here, winding through the buildings and everything, and you're able to get there in a way that wouldn't really occur to outsiders, but, you know, is the way. Between a couple of buildings, the mess hall and the gym. And you make your way over, and you are immediately greeted by a woman who is nailing a actual tarp fence into the ground.
Oh, hey, guys. Wow. Nice to see you. My gosh. To what do we owe the honor?
Look, we just have to talk to Primo. about some stuff.
Yeah, we were just hoping to have a quick chat and sort of figure out how this happened, what's going on, maybe if there's a way that we can help.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Yeah, you see this elf woman just sort of blush and be like, I'm not really supposed to let anybody in, but I mean, look, between us, you're probably more capable of dealing with anything dangerous than even I am. So I'll go get Primo, I guess.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye. And then you see her go off and grab Primo and talk to him a little sheepishly, and he sort of grumpily is like, "What?" And then comes over to the area of this like barricade.
Well, so far this is going great.
I thought I told you kids to, you know, stay clear.
We have questions. Do you have a second?
Yeah, sure, hold on. Larry, and you see this dwarf be like, yeah, what's up, Krugnail? And he's like, Larry, can you and Loretta just sort of keep an eye on, you know, operations here? I'm gonna go and talk to these kids. And you see Larry be like, kids, those are the fucking heroes of the century, but okay. I mean, if you want to...
Thanks, Larry!
Yeah, you got it. I'm a big fan. Maybe you could, write a... My, you know, it's my kid's birthday tomorrow. Maybe you could, write a card or something. We'll talk later. It's fine. Yeah, you see him sort of, like, yell instructions to everybody else as Krugnail kind of hops the fence and says, like, yeah, what do you kids need?
Well...
Esther?
Yeah, Mr. Krugnail, so how are you rebuilding the fence? Like, how are you repairing this?
Well, I'm not great at magic, but those of us on my team who are actually better at spellcasting than me are doing this complicated. This is like a complicated long ritual spell to get it back up, and it takes a while, but then once it's up, it's pretty up, you know, it's pretty foolproof theoretically, right? The rest of us are just trying to make sure people don't go near it while they're doing it because they can't be interrupted.
Right. And so what does up actually mean? How does this thing, you know, how is it protecting us?
Well, that's a good question, Esther. It's,
Thanks.
It's actually, you know, we say up, but it's down. You know, it goes down into the ground and it sends sort of like magical, unpleasant sound waves. You know, like nails on a chalkboard or like somebody like eating a potato chip in your ear sort of thing. Hate that. Absolutely hate it. Yeah, it keeps the Remorazes away. They don't like sounds or something. I don't know.
So do you have any sense of how this accident could have happened? Like, do you think it's just like... one of these Remorants hit it strong enough or where?
Look, you kids are, well, for lack of a better word, you kind of hot shits around here, okay? So I'm going to be straight with you. It's, this is classified information, but it came down from the inside. Nobody can take it down from the outside. There's a handful of us who, and what, you know, it wasn't me, but there's a handful of us who have access to take down the fence if for whatever reason we ever needed to, which we wouldn't. And
how many people have that access, and why, when would you need it to be down?
I mean, you wouldn't, other than like, I guess theoretically the answer would be like if you ever needed to not have any magic for some reason, like to go dark, but we've never run into that. So I think when it was originally built, it was just like magic was fairly new and people were a little suspicious. So they wanted to do like a fail safe in case they ever needed to like not have any magic. But again, like it really hasn't come up. I mean, this place is old as shit and the fence has been here. So this is kind of fucking crazy. And not a lot of people had the IDs. I mean, it's like heads of departments and like, you know, Kyrelius and Willa who are fucking food now for these worms, unfortunately.
When you say have no magic, you mean like blocking the use of magic in campus, or what does that mean?
I mean, the fence itself is magic, right?
Yeah, like the fence is made of magic. And so like, in case there was ever, I mean, I don't really understand it. I'm not really a magic guy. When I asked, they said it was kind of an antiquated thing. Back when they were first figuring out magic, there were people who were like, what if magic turns on us and makes us and decides to like kill us all like robots or something, you know? So there was always like the kill switch for that. But nobody's ever used it because magic ended up being awesome.
Right. Yeah. Magic is awesome.
Magic is awesome.
Primo, I'm sorry I have to ask this. I'm just going to give Windswept like a look and like do like a little subtle sign of like ID because I'm about to ask him about.
She kind of just shrugs and motions, go for it. But there is a little bit of panic in her eyes because this makes her nervous.
Primo, have you been working with Orla a lot recently? We're kind of blown away
by,
you know, she was like such a part of our group.
Oh my God, yes, she was one of you guys. She was one of you guys. Where is she?
Such like a badass now.
She was so excited for this and like so excited to see you all. And I was just so like, she's just talking about it all the time. And I thought she would be with you guys. But I guess she's got a lot of responsibility now that this whole thing's happened, huh? What a nice kid.
But is she effectively your boss, or are you like on, where is she lining up in order of operations with you now?
Well, that's the fucking question of the hour, isn't it? Because we don't know. I mean, she wasn't my boss before, but like, who's anyone's boss anymore? Because the two, the head of the guild and his assistant head of the guild, and now, you know, like I said, fucking worm food. And so I don't know, but I mean, I will say I think Paula would make a really good head of the guild. I think she's really smart. I think she's really nice. She's very generous with her time and her gifts, and I think she's been a really good presence for this guild. I think that she's the future. If I have any say, I would vote for her.
Wow, that's quite a
big speech.
A bit of praise for her. So have you two been working together recently?
Our work doesn't cross that much, but I will say, like, she, despite not really, like, having to work with me, has been, like I said, really generous with her time. Because, you know, I mean, you know Paula. She's a really gifted healer, and I've, you know, had my health troubles, and, you know, it's the kind of thing that just sort of comes back every now and then. And she found out that I wasn't feeling well, and she was really, really generous with her time using her magic to, we had these like sessions where she would sort of do her healing and I would feel really good for like a week, you know? So we just did it like every week. She was really nice about it, you know?
Can I make something like a perception check, an arcana check, an insight check?
Insight.
I would like to arcana this man.
Sure.
Can I give Naraya the help action? Or actually, can I just give you a guidance?
I just turn and like give Aveline and Winswift just like the most panic look while Esther is getting this.
And I just like touch
out.
You on the shoulder in like a reassuring way and give you the guidance.
Can I arcana check this man?
Yeah, what exactly are you checking?
It sounds suspicious to me that she was doing
like,
magic.
Why would she be healing
a lot
him
recently?
A bunch. I mean, maybe it's a good thing, but maybe there's like some other weird magic stuff going on.
So here's my quandary. I will definitely let you make an arcana check. It sounds to me like what you actually want to do is detect magic.
I will do both.
Okay.
I would like to first arcana check him for like residue, and I will also cast detect magic. I would like to do both and hopefully stack their results.
Sure. Yeah. Why don't you do that?
Cool. I'm using my spell slot for my detect magic. I'm casting it as the action, not bothering with ritual. That's a 3 on the guidance and a 15 on my dice, which is 18 plus 8, 26.
On Arcana?
Arcana. 26 Arcana plus detect magic, just frantically looking at this man while Esther is still questioning him, because it takes a second for detect magic.
Right. Okay, so here's what I'll tell you. I'll start with detect magic. You do not detect magic active on this man.
Okay. That also would tell me if he's Porla in disguise self or some shit.
Right, no, there's no magic on this man. He's cool. Not a magic man, in the words of not heart. They, then the 20, what is it, like a 26, 26. 28 on your arcana?
26.
I'm going to say that residue of magic is such a tricky thing to detect on anybody, but if you know exactly what you're looking for, it's not impossible. And I think with a roll that high, you're able to tell that this is a person who has had like healing magic done on them quite a lot. And also that because you remember when you spoke to him last night, he had like that weird moment where his memory was like a little like he didn't recognize you for a second or something.
Mm.
And knowing that, the pieces click into place and you remember to sort of look and just check on his cognitive state. And you see that he is indeed a little bit compromised in terms of like memory. And it's not part of his illness. It's like magical in nature.
Magic amnesia.
Oh, no. Okay. As I understand all of that, I'm still like arm in arm with Esther. I'm just gonna let go and give him like a little tap and be like, you should ask more questions about the fence. And then I'm gonna motion for everyone else to step aside so I can tell them everything.
Yeah, you know, actually, Cargnell, we, like, in this sort of chaos, we're just trying to help out as best we can and you know, speak to and make sure that we can check in with everyone. But we're having trouble getting into some areas right now. Do you know anything about, like, I don't know, like, access cards or, like, key or something that can, like, help us get into these other spaces?
Yeah, well, where do you need to get in? And you see him kind of start to, like, pat himself down, like, he's trying to get his card. And he's like, hold on. Where are you trying to get in?
Honestly, there's, like, just a lot of areas that seem restricted to us right now. Like, just main offices, just checking in with the different faculty that's still here.
Yeah, you know what? Hold on a sec. And then he, like, unzips his jacket and starts checking inner pockets kind of more and more frantically.
Are you okay?
Yeah. Hold on. I must have left my ID in my office or something. Yeah, sorry. I'll get it, though. And we can get you kids in wherever you need. That's weird. I just keep it on me. But, you know, it's a weird night.
Windswip, did you take his ID from Paula's office last night?
No, I didn't. I didn't take anything. I was trying really hard to leave it as it was, so that no one knew I was messing around in there.
I assume Nariah has, like, whispered or...
frantically just hissed all of this to y'all.
Oh, I think she must have used those sessions to steal that card from him and maybe some other stuff that she didn't want him to know about.
I look at everybody, and I walk back to where Esther and Primo are talking. And Primo, just a quick question. Do you know where Paula is right now? Like, when was the last time you talked with her? We haven't seen her in a while, and, you know, it'd be nice to catch up with her, too.
Yeah, she's been all over the place. I mean, she's definitely probably either in her office or, like, maybe Kyrelius's office if she's trying to go through his things and figure out, you know, what to do next, I guess. But yeah, I would say definitely check in those offices first.
Okay. Yeah. Thanks.
Yeah, no problem. If you'll excuse me, I gotta go back to my office and try and grab something. It's not a big deal.
Yeah, well, thank you so much for speaking, and, you know, maybe we can meet up in a little bit and see if we can help you out more, and maybe you can help us with those access cards as well.
Yeah, you kids are so sweet. Yeah, I'll get you guys back in a minute. We'll meet back up. Go have a soda or something, I don't know.
All right, thanks, Cargnell. I've always liked you, and known who you were.
So,
have we all gathered?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I guess if Primo has sort of gone off in the direction of the operations building, then you guys are free to gather.
Okay.
We have to find Paula.
We have to find Paula.
She's been fucking with his brain.
Are we sure about that?
I was willing to give her the benefit of the doubt, because I was hoping we were misreading the situation. It wasn't her, but his brain is bad, and it's not because he's sick.